So that's the end of the story there. Families, huh? So Absalom does indeed end up just getting enraged and rebelling against his father and dying in battle, and then David mourns over the death of Absalom inappropriately in the middle of the battle while he's leading troops, and that's a whole other thing. There are a multitude of sermons in this very long story. Families, huh? Now, if you're of a certain age, maybe if you're in around 50 or older, now I know some of you are, but I'm not going to point fingers. You might remember a TV commercial that I think was in the 70s, maybe early 80s. It was an anti-drug commercial. And the father catches his son with drugs. And he says, he's very angry. And he says, "Where did you learn this?" And the son says, "I learned it from you, all right. I learned it from watching you." And it's a commercial aimed at parents, and we're meant to think, oh, you know, children pay attention. Because children pay attention. Well, what did Absalom and Amnon pay attention to that David's oldest child ended up raping his sister? I mean, really? Oh, well, it might have been that King David, along with being actually a very good king and leader, was also a rapist and a murderer. Hollywood, and not just Hollywood to be fair, but Hollywood certainly likes to portray women as vixens and seducers. But if you know the true story of, and when I say true, I'm not talking about the literal truth of the Bible here, you understand. But if you know the biblical story of David and Bathsheba, it starts with David being on the roof at a time when the kings should be out with their troops in the battle. So all of his troops are out there, but David has become wealthy and lazy, and he sends everybody else out, and he's home in Jerusalem on the roof of his palace, and he sees Bathsheba bathing. Well, she's out in the yard bathing because that's where people bathe. There's no indoor plumbing. And she's bathing in her monthly ritual bath, as a good observant Jewish woman would do. So we know that she's not pregnant yet. And he orders her brought to the palace. Now, she's the wife of his top general. So her husband reports to David. So she doesn't have a choice. And she goes to the palace. And the verb in Hebrew is very specific. It says he takes her. It's used for rape in the Bible. It's right. So he takes her. He's raped her. And a little while later, she sends word to him that she's pregnant. Uh-oh. Her husband's been away at battle. So he sends for Uriah, her husband, Uriah the Hittite, and he tries to get Uriah to go be with his wife, but he won't go in to the house. He sleeps in the gate because, no, his men are at battle, and that's not appropriate. So when Uriah refuses, and it's going to be apparent that Bathsheba is pregnant, David has Uriah carry his own death warrant back, unbeknownst to him, to the head general. He orders Uriah to the front of the line, and he orders the rest of the troops back, so it's certain that Uriah will be killed. So David is a rapist and a murderer. And he has other wives and other children, and Amnon has seen this. Amnon knows that his father has done this. It's apparent. Now, David gets schooled about this later, but it doesn't matter. His children have seen this. And David's the king, and he does what he wants. So it's not really that surprising that when Amnon sees something that he wants later, and it's a young woman, and it's his half-sister, he just takes her and tosses her away. Now, let's put aside for a moment that David is mourning for his son, and his heart goes out for his son, Absalom, and he really hasn't done anything about his daughter, Tamar. Let's put that aside for the moment. But there are histories here. There are patterns. There are family patterns. A friend of mine had a cartoon on a refrigerator. This was 25 years ago. One of those New Yorker type cartoons. It might have been from the New Yorker. And it was a big auditorium. And it was empty except for one person sitting in the middle. And the banner on the top said, "Annual Meeting of Children of Functional Families." So it's possible that while David's family was extreme, many of us have some experience in things that our families don't do absolutely perfectly. It's possible. Now, if you believe that you have grown up in a perfect family that has done everything right, that is fabulous, and I would love to talk to you after the service, because maybe we can talk about putting on a seminar about how to do everything right. But I'm willing to bet that most of us, in looking back, can find a thing that we learned from our parents that as adults we say, you know, if I think about that, maybe that wasn't exactly right. And maybe some of us have things that were way not right, because it's what we learned, because it gets handed down generation to generation. In Hebrew, we call this dor v'dor. Say that, dor v'dor. That's your first Hebrew lesson. Okay? Generation to generation. So when the Bible tells us that you will be rewarded to the thousandth generation, but the punishment gets visited to the seventh generation, this isn't God, however you understand God to be, right? This isn't God saying, I'm vindictive and I'm going to do this. This is God saying, I understand family systems theory. And this is what's going to happen if you don't take care, right? So I noticed in my own family that my daughter, who's sitting right here and smiling, she loves when I talk about her, and I don't tell these stories without her permission. When I was working as a nurse practitioner and I'd bring her into the office, I remember that I used to chart by standing at a counter. I'd go in to see my patients, and this was when charts were on paper. And I'd stand there, and I'd take one foot out of my shoe half the time. So, you know, like that. And I'd put my hand on my hip, and I'd write like this. And sometimes I'd bring her into the office with me, and I noticed that she started standing like this. I wonder where she got that. And then there were other things that I started to notice that she was doing. Like if I'd get angry at the in the car and say things. And I'm not just talking about bad words, I mean whole attitudes, right? She was starting to pick up on that, and oh, I'm molding my child here. Oh, this might not be the best thing. I need to be more careful. I need to be more careful. Amazingly, we do this thing in our congregations as well. There's a culture in a congregation, in any organization that's a long-term thing that meets more than once a year. You know, if you meet regularly, a culture develops. And we might not know why we're doing the thing, but we've always done it that way. So, for example, if in a congregation, a minister stepped back from her responsibility and bled on the congregation, and the congregation started being responsible for ministering to the minister and taking up the tasks of that minister, the congregation might start to internalize, oh, this is my job. This is how we do things here. Obviously, we have to take on all of these roles ourselves. And then that gets handed down, like making soup in two pots. So that people who were never here when that minister was here are still taking on those tasks and doing those things. Just as we do things in families because of something that happened three generations ago that we don't talk about, because we're still protecting ourselves from the thing, whatever the thing was, that we don't talk about. But this is how we do things here. Now, it might be a benign thing. It might be that at one point, a door got stuck, and we just never use that particular door. We don't use the east door because it got stuck, and it doesn't matter that 75 years ago the east door has been replaced, but we don't use the east door because, you know, we don't know why. That's kind of benign, but it could be a serious thing. So one of the ways we deal with these things that happen in our families, if they're big things, if they're little things, we stop in the moment and say, oh my goodness, my child is saying the same thing I just said, and I didn't like it in the way it sounded in a three-year-old. I'm going to work hard to stop doing that. Or if it's bigger stuff and it's been going on for generations and we feel that we're having a hard time coping, maybe what do we do? Counseling. We might go to counseling, right? We might go to a support group. And in a congregation, if we discover that we're doing things and we're not sure why, well, we can bring in a consultant and we can do workshops, and or during an interim ministry, we can really dig in and face those things and ask a lot of questions. So part of my work here has been to dig in deep and look at the history and help you to look at the history. Now, if anybody here has ever been to counseling or therapy, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but this is Northern Virginia, so I'm guessing that more than one of you have been. I'm just guessing, right? Nobody's told me. You'll know that this is not your weekly spa session. Sometimes you walk out of those sessions and you feel worse than when you went in. Sometimes, right? But over the long term, you learn things about yourself and you start to feel better. So sometimes it's the same way in a congregation. Sometimes when we dig in deep in the moment, it can feel uncomfortable. And now I will ask you, who here has, during the work of the interim stuff, who here has ever felt uncomfortable for a minute or a moment or two? Yeah. And thank you for raising your hands and being honest here. But this is the place when we're among our own folks, right? When we're among our own community, this is the place to explore that together. Because I tell you, friends, if we don't dig in and do that, well, I don't think you're going to commit fratricide. I really don't. But if we don't dig in and do that, what are the lessons that we learn from Absalom and Amnon? What are we teaching the next generation and all who come after? How do we want to continue moving forward? So, if you know the musical Into the Woods, anybody know the musical Into the Woods? Careful the things you say, children will listen. I don't have Michelle's voice, but I think I sang that on too. It's all about children paying attention. We say things and sometimes we don't even know what comes out of our mouths or what we say with our bodies, our faces, our actions. And we telegraph so much. Let us consider together, in this beloved community together, let us consider our past, our present, and our future. Let us create our future intentionally. Let us be the congregation we intend to be. Namaste.